Jeremiah chapter number 3 tonight in the Word of God. And we have hard days and hard times down here in this life. And every season we go through is not easy. But I'm glad no matter where you're at tonight, just keep singing best you can. Put one foot in front of the other. And one of these days you're going to take your last step. Amen. You're going to take your last step. And you say, where's it going to end? If you're saved and a child of God, it all ends at the gates of glory. And thank God we'll find our rest on that day. And I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 3. And we want to continue our study of these 10 gates that are mentioned here. We've entitled this study, The Gateways, Gateways to the Presence of God. And these are 10 gates in the days of Nehemiah, gates that needed to be repaired or built or put back in place so that the people of God could have entrance in and out of the presence of the Lord in that holy city, Jerusalem. And they're repairing the gates as well as the walls attached to those gates. And we're studying each of these just in light of the progression of our spiritual life, elements about these things, it must spiritually be applied to our life as we intend on enjoying the presence of the Lord and walking with Him and fellowshipping with Him. And my, what a study this has been. Let's stand together and we'll read just one verse. And there's a lot of verses. In fact, I'll say something about that. There being several verses about this next gate. We've covered half of them. Somebody say, man. And we're on number 6, beginning number 6. I will not finish it tonight. Amen. It's grown and grown and grown. But I'll give you several things tonight that I trust and pray the Lord to help us with. Verse 15, Nehemiah 3, and in verse number 15. The Bible said, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalem, the son of Kehoza, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it, that is, the gate of the fountain, and covered it, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, the wall of the pool of Siloah of the king's garden, and under the stairs that go down from the city of David. And if I wouldn't get embarrassed trying to read all those Hebrew names that are found on down through there, I'd read the rest of it. It's a lot of interesting things that we'll get into maybe even and probably on Wednesday night. And so you come back Wednesday, you'll hear me read all those funny names. You can point and laugh, and I'll dare you to get up here and read all of them after me. All right? Amen. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we need your help this evening. Lord, in ourself, Lord, is weakness. In ourself, Lord, is inabilities. Lord, tonight our confidence, our trust is in you to take us beyond ourselves. May the God that is in us and the God that called us to do this, Lord, speak through us tonight. Lord, we need help as the children of God, as we have found in our study of this text and this chapter. Lord, over the last several months, we are well aware of the fact we need the help of the Lord. Lord, tonight, the subject matter that we'll find here in the fountain gate to be no different. We need instruction and encouragement. And Lord, we need the help of the Lord tonight. And so I pray that you'd send it. And may our relationship with you by the Holy Ghost be strengthened. And Lord, may it be repaired. May it be built. May it be shored up and strong when we leave this place tonight. Lord, through the word of God, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. As we continue our study around the walls of Jerusalem, of course, we begun at the sheep gate in verse number 1 and move counterclockwise, that is, toward the west and then toward the south. We have covered thus far the sheep gate, then that speaking of salvation, the work of Christ that he done on our behalf. That's where everything begins in our spiritual life, at the sheep gate, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the blood he shed, and the sacrifice as the Lamb of God providing our eternal redemption. Then we move to the fish gate, and that after we're saved, immediately we're interested in being fishers of men, bringing others into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a study the fish gate was. Probably one of my favorite studies we've done in this chapter. Then we move to the third gate, found in verse number 6. Moreover, the old gate. What a gate the old gate is. The old gate leads, my friend, through the old quarters into the new quarters of the city. And we found there that the way into newness of life is always by the old time way. The unchanging truths of our God and of His Word that are not limited to just a generation or a handful of generations, but that endure all the way to where we are tonight. Thank God for the old gate and the old ways that it represents. We look at verse 13, the valley gate, as we make our way from the northwest side there in the old gate all the way down toward the southwest side. What a journey it is to the valley gate. We learn some things there that the Christian life is not always easy. It's not always lived on the mountaintop. That there are valley experiences that we all must go through and must face if we're going to know anything about the presence of the Lord. I was reminded this week in meditating and praying for several folk that are even here tonight and some that are not here, about valleys that they're going through. Psalm 23 said, yea, though I walk through the valley. And so the valley is there, and we're going to have to walk, but thank God we're not stuck in it. Amen. It may feel like it every now and then, but we are going through the valley. David learned there in Psalm 23, as I walk through the valley, that the shepherd is with me each and every step of the way. And so thank God for the valley gate tonight and those low experiences in our life, how the Lord proves Himself faithful and true. We talked about the voices that you hear in the valley. Amen. One calling you to the hill of evil counsel to do your own thing. And how that we hear from the other side the voice of God calling us to walk on and to live a life by faith, trusting God to get us through. And I'm glad that He can. And then our last gate was found in verse number 14, that repulsive of the most repulsive of the 10 gates, the dung gate. There the dung gate represents the place where our rubbish is dealt with, the waste and the mess and the filth of our life is discarded, how God leads us, amen, to deal with those things that are in our life. We can't carry all that around all the days of our life. We must make frequent stops by the dung gate to get the mess and the filth out of our life. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost to help us do some of that. Amen. Even in these days. And I love the dung gate. I'm going to preach on that somewhere down the way. Amen. And see what the Lord will do with it. We'll never have revival and know anything about the presence of God if we're not willing to deal with the dung and get it out and clean up, amen, our relationship with the Lord. Now tonight, amen, we come here to this sixth entry point found in Nehemiah chapter number 3. In our text, it brings us to what I believe I can prove is the most prominent one known as the Fountain Gate. Of all the 10 gates, I want to say tonight, there is more verses dedicated to this gate and the walls connected to it than any of the 10 that are mentioned in this text. It has a prominent place in Nehemiah's day and in Nehemiah's work. And I think the spiritual application we'll draw here in a moment will prove out that this is one of the most prominent spiritual applications that we need to make in our walk with the Lord. You'll find that there are more workers involved here than any other gate or piece of the wall that is mentioned in Nehemiah chapter number 3. In fact, I would draw your attention to remember again in the dung gate. that we read, there was only one man that showed up to do work at the dung gate. And we talked about that, that told us that whether anybody else is interested in, amen, that repulsive aspect of dealing with dung, amen, we ought to take it on as our own individual personal responsibility. But in the fact that there's so many workers involved here at the gate of the fountain, or the fountain gate, and the wall connected between it and the water gate, I take that to mean that this is of necessity that all God's children must understand the prominence and the importance of what we're going to be taught in this gate. And so what is it? Let me begin to lay it out, and then we'll give you some thoughts here tonight. I think that when we understand this gate of the fountain, or what we will reference as the fountain gate, one of the things that stands out to me, beyond that it is more verses dedicated to it than any other gate, more workers involved on this part of the rebuilding and construction effort than any of the others, is that this is the first of back-to-back gates that has an association with that matter of water. The next gate, and we'll study it in weeks to come, is going to be the water gate. So we have the fountain gate followed by the water gate. Now the water gate, we'll see in some time, has still water. There is still water there at the water gate. But the fact that this is called the fountain gate in our text, it speaks tonight and has there running, or what we will call tonight in the words of Jesus, living water supplied by the Gihon Springs. In other words, it is coming from below, from beneath. Amen. You can't see it on the surface, but amen, there's a spring that is running underground, and that spring is alive, and it is bubbling up, springing up. Amen, it is living, running water. Amen. Now the fountain gate, with that in mind, amen, in the fountain gate, and it's springing, running, and living water, I think tonight speaks to you and I of the ministry and relationship of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Amen. Still water is going to speak to us, we'll see, of the Word of God. When you see water in the Word of God as running or moving or bubbling up, springing up, it is always a picture of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry and relationship to the children of God. Let me prove that to you and show that to you tonight from the New Testament for just a moment. And look with me in John chapter number 7. In John chapter number 7, I'm interested in a few verses. And begin reading with me in John 7, verse number 37. Here's what the Word of God said. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus said in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Jesus said, if there's anybody out here that is spiritually thirsty, you've tried all that the world and sin and all that is in all those things has to offer. Amen. And you're still thirsty and you're still longing for something to satisfy and quench your inner man. Jesus said, amen, then you can come to me and I will give you living water. Amen. Then he that believeth on me, out of his belly, the scripture said, shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what in the world does that mean? Amen. We'd kind of be left just guessing about it. Amen. If verse number 39 was not in the Word of God, notice the statement in parentheses, but this spake he of the Spirit. Amen. What is the living water? What is the running water? What is the drink that Jesus is offering to thirsty souls? Amen. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Have you received it? Amen. You have, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have received him, and thank God I have. Amen. Which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so Christ spake of living water, running water. Amen. This matter of believing on Jesus and coming to him by faith. And my friend, when the Spirit is given in that moment of time, there is water within a man's belly. You can't see it always on the outside. Amen. It goes deeper than the surface. And my friend, it is something that is on the inside. Now, look with me in John chapter number 4, and we're at a very familiar text. Christ has come, amen, to the well, and there's a Samaritan woman that has made her way there in the noon and the midday time. And we understand here that Christ is going to engage her in conversation and ask her for a drink. Amen. You know the story. She said, well, thou hast nothing to draw with. And Jesus begins to lead her down a road of spiritual truth. And notice with me in verse number 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water of the well, Jacob's well, the well that she has come to get a drink of water, Jesus said, shall thirst again. But, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, what? A well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so the connection is made here that Christ is teaching again, amen, that in salvation there is an imparting of a well and of a river and of a spring that is on the inside of a child of God. Amen. And that, my friend, is more than an emotion. It is more than an experience. It's more than a feeling. It's more than goosebumps and pimples, amen, on your back that piglets can suck on. Oh no, friend, it's more than that. Amen. It is the entrance into a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of God that dwells on the inside. Amen. And on the inside of us, he moves and he stirs and he brings a life and he brings the essentials, amen, that we need. And he satisfies our thirst and he quenches our longing. Amen. Thank God for the day that, amen, we met the Holy Ghost. Amen. He took up his abode within our heart. Amen. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Amen. There are certain realms of belief and doctrine and religion. Amen. They say you get introduced to Jesus and get saved on one day, and then somewhere down the way you get a second blessed, and there you get introduced to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I say I'm glad when I got saved? Amen. I met the Father. I met the Son. Thank God I met the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that he took his abode in my life. Amen. Now ever since that day I've been saved. Amen. I have a fountain on the inside. I have a river that you cannot see that is flowing and bringing me what I need to make it. Now, the fountain gate tonight, I think, speaks about that connection. It speaks about that part of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And without that, without which, we will not survive. We will not be able to make it. Do you understand tonight that you cannot walk with God apart from the Holy Spirit? Do you realize tonight you can't live for God without the Holy Spirit? Do you realize tonight that, my friend, you can't do anything for God, amen, without the touch of the Holy Ghost on your life? Amen. If you can do it in the flesh, it'll never amount to anything. Amen. We're told to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're told, my friend, to walk in the Spirit. We're told, my friend, to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Over and over, Paul would write and Jesus would speak about, amen, the importance of that relationship with the Holy Ghost being right. Amen. We need Him moving in us. We need Him working in us. Amen. We need that to be flowing and moving. We don't need the fountain stopped up. Amen. We don't need to let the enemy come in and, amen, block the well, if you will. Amen. We need it flowing. We need to understand, amen, these things from the fountain gate tonight. Amen. Boy, I feel like preaching now. Amen. I feel like preaching. Let me say this about the fountain gate and I'll begin to work through the text. Amen. I think it's important, amen, to note something that the Holy Ghost showed me. Amen. It's important to know that upon leaving the dung gate toward the fountain gate, there is an immediate, what we'll call tonight, there is an immediate upward trajectory that begins to take place. Now, when we was at the sheep gate and we moved the fish gate and then to the old gates, you remember from the old gate, we began a descent. We began to go down. We began, my friend, to be on a trajectory that was downward to the valley gate. And there we found some humility, and there we found God working in our life. Amen. In the low places. And so He brings us through the valley gate and the dung gates, the lowest part of the city of Jerusalem. When you leave the dung gate after you've been through the valley for a while and you drop off some things that are waste and rubbish to your life, amen, there at the dung gate, and you get some things cleaned up, amen, getting rid of some things that are baggage, amen, you know what begins to happen in your life? Amen. You began to immediately take an upward trajectory. Amen. Amen. Only by a man's relationship to the Holy Ghost can he climb to higher ground. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Listen, you say, preacher, amen, I want to get on the mountaintop again. If you do get to the mountaintop, amen, it will not be through the power of the flesh. Amen. You can't will yourself to higher ground. Amen. You can't wish yourself to higher ground. Amen. If we're going to find higher ground in an elevated trajectory, amen, it must come by a man's relationship to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching right there, preacher. You just keep right on shooting in that hole. Amen. We need this tonight. Amen. Listen, I'm afraid we're trying to gain ground and gain higher ground, and we're trying to bypass a relationship with the Holy Ghost. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. Amen. We're going to have to realize our relationship to Him, amen, is essential if we're going to turn the corner on the low ground. Amen. The dung, from the dung gate where all the dung is, and began an upward heavenly trajectory. Amen. And direction, an elevated position. Amen. It'll take a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Boy, I like that point. I think it's important. Amen. Let's look at this. The Bible said, but the gate of the fountain. Let's look at the fountain gate in the text and some things I've come to understand in my study of this. Now, I've got five. I think I've got five. There may be a sixth one I add to this, but I've got at least five. I'm going to try to give you three of them tonight, because the fourth one's about a whole message in itself. Amen. But let's look at this tonight. Number one, let's consider the cleansing at the fountain gate. The cleansing at the fountain gate. Now, you buckle your seatbelt for a minute. Amen. You may need to do that. Amen. When you study the fountain gate, the gate of the fountain, here's what you're going to find. Is that this gate, what does it follow? It follows the dung gate. And when we're at the dung gate, what are we doing? We're getting rid of some filth out of our life. We've been handling some filth. We've been trying to let some things go. Amen. We've got to let some things go. But now, when you study the dung gate and the proximity of it to the gate of the fountain, you'll find that it is the closest. It is the closest of the gates that are related to one another. Some have said they're just a few hundred yards from each other. And that is important. Amen. That's important. You say, why? Amen. Because after we have been handling all that rubbish and disposing of it, amen, you know what there is need for? There is need for cleansing by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is big and this is important tonight. Amen. I'm for getting rid of all the dung. We need to get rid of all the dung. We need to lay it on the altar. We need to, amen, throw it in the fire. We need to, do whatever you got to do to get rid of the dung. Amen. But if you're going to have victory over the dung, amen, you know what you need? You need the Holy Ghost to cleanse that out of your life. Amen. Why is it that some, they'll boo-hoo in a service, run down the altar, amen, and they'll lay their pornography down, cigarettes down, they ain't gonna kick the dog anymore, amen, they gonna stop cussing, listening to dirty jokes, and watching things on the TV they shouldn't watch, amen, and they lay it down, and they get rid of it, and they throw it down, amen, but then they go back home, and it ain't a week later, 10 days later, they're doing the same thing. Amen. Could it be that, amen, we've given something up, but we've not been to the Holy Ghost, amen, and let Him cleanse us from the stains of that sin. Amen. And so the fountain gate would serve as a point of importance. And after you had got rid of the dung, you would need to wash that off of your hands. Amen. So you didn't walk around with the stench of that on you. Amen. I'm glad. Hey, amen. I'm glad tonight. Amen, that when there's been dung build up in my life and the Lord deals with me and lets me get rid of it and deal with it, amen, I'm glad I can go to the Holy Ghost and He helps me win the victory. Amen, lay it down, get rid of it and be done with it. Amen, and never pick it back up again. Amen. The Holy Ghost, only the Holy Ghost can do that for a man. Amen. And so there's the matter of cleansing. Amen. He's got to be the one that cleanses our mind and our heart and our hands. And, amen. We've got to make that step. You remember what James said. Amen. That we were to cleanse our hearts, ye sinners. Amen. Purify your hearts and cleanse your hands. Amen. There is a personal responsibility. Amen. Amen. And you can't do that in yourself, but you must make the first move, amen, to let the Holy Ghost do His cleansing work in your life. Amen. I found this interesting. Y'all remember when we studied the dung gate, amen, that the dung gate gave, amen, when they would come out of it, amen, it was the gate that was closest to that outer wall, the wailing wall or weeping wall as it is known today, where those Jews, though they could not go in the Holy of Holies, they would gather there and set their face to that wall and imagine themselves, amen, being as close to God there as they could be. And yet the fountain gate is near the dung gate. And the fountain gate, here's what I noted about this matter of cleansing, is that this gate was the closest water to the temple. And it would afford the people of God cleansing that would be essential for their worship. Amen. They couldn't walk into the temple and try to worship God. Amen. If they had not cleansed themselves. Amen. And so no matter if they're coming out of the dung gate, amen, or they're just walking through the city, amen, they've got to cleanse their hands. They've got to clean up a little bit, amen, before they can enter in and worship God. Amen. You know how we do that tonight. Amen. You don't do that by taking a bath before you come to church, though that'd be a good idea. Amen. Throw a little deodorant on while you're at it. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's what Brother Melton said down there at Love Valley the other week. Amen. About these young folk trying to find a mate. Amen. He said you better check them. Amen. You better check them on, amen, whether they use soap or not. Amen. And if they don't bathe before they get married, they won't bathe after they get married. Amen. Amen. I don't know where all that come from or what it has to deal with, but amen, you don't get ready for church and worship by taking a physical bath before you come to church. No. Amen. You get cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You let Him cleanse your mind. Amen. Begin to wash away all the junk and the garbage. Amen. Just comes with living life. And to cleanse our hands and our feet and our path. Our spirits and our attitude and our ambitions. And these things that are absolutely essential to us worshiping God. Amen. We need a relationship with the fountain gate to cleanse us and prepare us to worship God. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of worship going on in these days, worship so called. I'm afraid it ain't worship being received by God because it ain't tapped into the Holy Ghost. Amen. And by the way, that ain't measured in how loud we can shout or how long we can run laps around the building. Amen. Amen. It's measured by the matter of holiness in our life. Amen. If you ain't got holiness, if you don't have cleansing, amen, that comes only by the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to be able to worship God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In other words, go by the fountain gate, let the Holy Ghost do a work in your life and cleanse you from some things that are going on. Amen. The cleansing at the fountain gate. Let me say a word. I like this part of the message. The custodian at the fountain gate. The custodian at the fountain gate. I can tell already, Brother A.L., I'm only going to give you 2 points tonight. Amen. I won't barely make it past this. But notice the custodian at the fountain gate. We read, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalem, the son of Hosah, the ruler of part of Mizpah. I'm interested in the man responsible for the work of this gate. Amen. This man, there's a man, I call him a custodian. Amen. It's his responsibility, Riley, amen, to engage in the repair and the building of this gate so that, amen, it can be there for the children of God to have a gateway, the presence of the Lord. I think that it reveals, now you'll notice there's 3 names that are given in association with this custodian, and they teach us 3 truths about the Spirit's, what we'll call tonight, His custodial care of our spiritual lives. Are you ready to be blessed tonight? Amen. When you listen to this, let me just give it to you how the Holy Spirit gave it to me about His own work in my life. Amen. Number one, consider the man's name, Shalem. Shalem. Notice this name. When you read it, and you have to do a pretty extensive study on his name to understand this, but as I did, here's what I found. This name, Shalem, as traced back to its root, implies one once under retribution, but is now a friend. One that at one time was under retribution, but now has been made a friend. Oh, somebody hold my mule so I can shout a minute. Amen. Oh, in Him we fight. Amen. The Spirit's work, and as He has relationship to our life. Amen. Can I remind you tonight? Amen. There was a time we were under the retribution of God. Amen. There was a fee that we owed we could not pay. Amen. There was, amen, an enmity between us and the God of glory. Amen. But tonight I'm no longer under retribution. Amen. Condemnation no longer is the theme of my life. Oh no, I have been made a friend of God. Amen. Is that not the ministry of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Let me read you a verse. I could quote it, but let me get it word for word, punctuation and everything. In Romans chapter number 8 and in verse number 1, there is therefore now, amen, right now in my life, this very moment, this very second, this very evening, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I am, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. After the Spirit. Amen. Here's my thought. Amen. You take the Holy Spirit out of your life. Amen. You take Him out of your life. And my friend, you're still under retribution. And you'll feel condemnation. Amen. But if you've been saved and are in Christ Jesus, amen, and you are walking in the Spirit, guess what He has done? He has removed the penalty, removed the retribution, and you stand on ground before God as His friend. Amen. He's the one that keeps us in standing with God. Amen. Oh, you can walk in the flesh. Amen. Listen, you can be saved. Amen. You start walking down the flesh. Ain't it amazing that sense of condemnation, that sense of, man, I'm out of sorts with God, begins to creep up on you. Amen. But ain't it amazing when you get right with God and you began, my friend, to live the life you were saved to live and quit walking and fooling around with the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Ain't it amazing how you have confidence between you and God? Amen. That ain't to your credit. That ain't because you're a super duper spiritual hero Christian. That's because of the ministry of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. You don't get no lapel for that. That pin on your lapel, there ain't no ribbons handed out for that. Amen. We owe it all to the ministry of the Spirit of God. Amen. If we'll just follow Him and let Him lead the way. Amen. Deny the flesh and die to it. Amen. We can stand in Christ Jesus and walk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And He makes sure we're on friendly terms with our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's a blessing me tonight. Amen. I'm glad I've been made a friend of God. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I won't leave you without a go-between. Amen. I'm going to be up there with the Heavenly Father doing some things you need me to do. I'm going to send another. Amen. I'm glad I've met the other. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Ghost, amen, was given to me without measure when I got saved. Amen. The fountain flows, the spring swells up. Amen. And it has a ministry whereby I'm no longer under condemnation. Amen. That felt good right there, Jack. Amen. Jesse even smiled on that one, praise God. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad for that relationship we have with Him? Amen. Y'all want another? It gets better. Amen. Consider this. It is Shalon, the son of Kahosei. Amen. Consider this. We'll get another element, I believe, of the Spirit's custodial care of our spiritual lives. Amen. Kahosei, his name means a beholder. Amen. Don't miss it now. Brother A.L., it literally means one who sees all. Amen. Sees all. One who's viewing and taking and beholding everything. And I say tonight, amen, I believe in Kahosei, this reveals the Spirit's attention to every detail of our lives. Amen, you're not facing anything tonight. You do not feel anything tonight. Amen, you are not fighting anything tonight. And the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you has not beheld, has not taken into view, and then His all-seeing eye, amen, does not know is going on in your life. Amen. You say, Pastor don't know, and my spouse don't know, and my children don't know, and nobody knows what I'm going through. Amen. Can I say tonight, all that may be right. Amen. But there's one on the inside of you. Amen. He is the watchman of your soul. Amen. He's the one that's with you everywhere you go. Amen. If you're facing it, He's facing it. If you're fighting it, He's fighting it. If you're feeling it, He's feeling it. Amen. Thank God tonight. I'm glad we got one that's watching us every step of the way. Amen. His eye is on the sparrow. The old songwriter said, and I know He watches me. Amen. I'm glad I got one on the inside. Amen. That has my life in His view. Amen. Hallelujah. That felt so good. I want to give you the third one. It gets better. Notice where this man is from. In fact, he is called here now. Amen. Don't miss it. In Nehemiah 3:15, the ruler of part of Mizpah. Mizpah. I love how the Holy Ghost works when I'm studying. I had been studying for this message. And I was laboring even this afternoon praying, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I was struggling. You wouldn't understand this unless you're a preacher. I was struggling, Brother Larry, on I want the message. Lord, I want the message. I don't want to just get up and preach. I want what you want me to preach. And there for about 20 minutes, I got in a knot, man. I was like, I just don't know about Nehemiah 3 and the Fountain Gate, if that's the way I need to go. And I've been looking at something over there in 1 Samuel chapter 7 about Israel's battle with the Philistines when they got right with God. And I even for about 20 minutes had been over there looking at that. And I was going to preach on Ebenezer. And I was looking at that and I had a few things wrote down, and then the Lord said, now go back to Nehemiah 3. That's what you're going to preach. I said, okay, Lord, you're killing me, but okay. And I got back, and I hadn't made a connection that the Lord sovereignly made this very afternoon. I went back and I read the text, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalem, the son of Jehoze, and then I saw it. A ruler, a part of Mizpah. Mizpah. I just read something about Mizpah in 1 Samuel 7. In 1 Samuel 7, Samuel comes to Israel, or Israel comes to Samuel rather, and they say, now Samuel, we know we're not right with God, and would you pray for us? Would you help us get right with God? And Samuel said, I tell you what you do. All y'all get together and you meet me down in Mizpah. And down in Mizpah, they assembled it, and they're having church and they're saying, oh, we want to return to the Lord. And Samuel begins to judge the people, and they're weeping and they're crying, and there's service. I'm talking about folk are getting cleansed, and folk, my friend, are getting right with God, and revival's breaking out in 1 Samuel 7. All of a sudden, word spreads down the Philistines that Israel's been gathered down there in Mizpah, and they get all the swords and shields and armies together, and they run down to Mizpah, and somebody, amen, interrupts the revival meeting and said, hey, the enemy's on the way. They turn to Samuel and say, do not cease to pray for us. Pray that God would not only let us be right with God, but that the Lord would deliver us from the enemy. Oh, I'm about to have a spell. All this happens in Mizpah. Samuel takes a sucking lamb and he offers it a sacrifice to God. Amen. And begins to pray, and he prays something like this. Amen. Lord, you know your children's been trying to get right with you. Their lives have been getting cleaned up. And now the enemy has come to try to seek to destroy us. Lord, would you do something for us? All of a sudden, there's a great thunder in the camp of the Philistines. And they began to be discomfited. And the best I can tell, through miraculous means, when that thunder struck, amen, that there was several, the thunder, not the lightning, the thunder slew some of them Philistines. It discomfited them. And Brother Tim, they take off running for their lives. And Samuel said, now y'all boys go get them. Now run them down. And they went and they killed them.
That's right.
Thank you. They're making their way back to Mizpah. And between Mizpah and Shin, just outside of Mizpah, Samuel gathered all of them around. And he got a great big old rock. He set it up there on the outskirts of Mizpah. He said, we're going to call this rock Ebenezer. You know what Ebenezer means? It tells you in 1 Samuel 7, hitherto for hath the Lord helped us.
Amen.
I don't think it's any accident. The custodian down there at the gate of the fountain, amen, came from Mizpah. Amen, a place where God proved He could help His people. Amen, a place He passed by. Amen, maybe He passed by on His way to the gate of the fountain. Amen, and He seen the old rock raised up so many years ago. Amen, and He said, oh yes, the Lord hath helped us. The Lord hath helped us. Amen, and when you go to the fountain gate in Nehemiah 3, amen, there's a man who's testified. Amen, the Lord hath helped us. The Lord hath helped us. Amen, can I remind you tonight, that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost in your life as a child of God. I'd run you back to Romans chapter number 8 and verse 26, where the Word of God said, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities.
Amen.
And I say tonight, I'm glad I'm in good connection. Amen. Since I've been saved with the Spirit of the Lord, how many days have we been infirm? How many days have we been in a battle? How many days have we been worn out? Amen. And oh, He didn't say the Spirit taking away our infirmity. It said He helpeth our infirmities. Amen. American, modern day American Christianity. Amen. We don't want any infirmities. We don't want any trouble. Amen. But here's the good thing about Bible Christianity. Amen. And I know God can take some things away, and He does for some.
Amen.
I tell you what I've learned in my life. A lot of days He lets me bear them infirmities.
Amen.
So that He can help me. And I'm staying in good relationship with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Ain't you glad you ain't got to do it all by yourself? I know, and I know this personally because I've been there where you feel like you are doing it all by yourself. Charlie, these days we feel like we're all alone. Hey, man, I'm about to have a fit. Amen, but I've been there going down the road and I was a weeping because of my infirmity. Amen, I've sat there and my friend wondered, is it ever going to be any better? Amen, I've been there when you wondered, how much longer is it going to last? Amen, but I've been there when the Holy Ghost has come by and helped me with my infirmities. And somehow from deep on the inside, there's a well that springs up. There's a living water that touches is our life and helps us bear our infirmities. Hey man, you better make sure you don't bypass the fountain gate. That's where your help's at. That's where you get reminded that there's one bigger and greater and better than us that's helping us make it.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where you go and be able to touch Ebenezer. Amen. And be reminded the Lord helped us. And the Lord's been faithful. And the Lord's been there. Amen. Maybe He ain't took it away, but He's helping us. He's helping us. Amen. Glory to God. Mizpah, the custodial care of the Holy Ghost in our life. I can't explain it in these days how that in the same heart there can be so much heaviness and brokenness and burden. On the other side, just so much help. Woo, hallelujah. People's come. I don't want to make nothing about me tonight, but there's been folk, amen, text or call or talk to us and say, how you doing, knowing some things we've been through and going through. Amen. And all I can tell you is I can't explain, amen, how a heart can be so busted and broken and yet feel so healed and healthy and strong all in the same time. Amen. All I can say is thank God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. There's an Ebenezer. Amen. There's a reminder on the inside. Amen. Your guts may be hanging out tonight, but it's in our infirmities the Holy Ghost helps us. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God for His helpful custodial care in our life. You take Him out of your life, you wouldn't make it 2 weeks. You take His help. Amen. You take His help out of your life. Amen. The next storm that smacks you upside your head. Amen. It'll be the last one you live. Amen. Last one you ever face. Amen. It'll do you in. You know why we're here tonight. You know why we're still preaching and singing and meeting and gathering tonight. Amen. You know why we still have a heart for God. Amen. In spite of all we've been through. Amen. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Yes, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Amen. Somebody goes down the gate of the fountain. And Shalen, I'm having a tough day. He just said, well, let me tell you, I've been to Mizpah. Ebenezer's still there. Ebenezer's still there, ain't gone nowhere. Lord is still helping us. Praise God, I'm getting to preach Nehemiah 3 and 1 Samuel 7 all in the same service. I'm glad the Lord put me in a fit. I didn't like it there 20 minutes this afternoon, but He showed me something. And I'm telling you, it's blessing my heart. There's help. It's a reminder that the Lord, the Spirit of God, can help us at the fountain gate.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to get the third point. Can I just maybe throw a few things out there? Amen. Maybe I should end. I probably should end. I ain't listened to my old granddad yet. He said, always leave them wanting more, not less. Amen. I ain't learned that yet. Everybody gets done before I do. Amen. Can I give you this? It'll help you. I think it'll help you. Notice the construction at the fountain gate. If I don't give you this tonight, then Wednesday I ain't going to get it all done. And then Dana Williams will be here Sunday. And I've got to preach revival in Michigan next week. And amen. It'd just be too long before I can get back to it. Amen. The construction at the fountain gate. When the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and overthrew it, believe I can show you tonight, they seem to have intensified their destructive ambitions against Jerusalem when they came to the gate of the fountain. Believe, Brother Jerry, I can prove that because of what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter number 2 when he went out to spy out the city and to see it. And he starts at the valley gate. Y'all remember that? He goes to the dung gate. But in verse 14, then I went on to the gate of the fountain into the king's pool. And here's what Nehemiah said, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Nehemiah said, when I went to go spy out the condition of the walls, he said, when I came to the gate of fountain, he didn't have trouble getting through the valley gate and looking at the dung gate and observing and walking around. But when he came to the gate of fountain, he said, they made it impassable. It was so destroyed that I could not even make it through the gate into the presence of God in the city. Y'all listening? Can I say tonight that that's what the enemy desires to do in us? If the enemy can somehow come between our relationship, the Holy Spirit, He'll have no trouble keeping us pressed down and out of God's presence and living in victory. Amen. A lot of ways the enemy could do that. I'll not preach all that. But Shalen, here's what I want you to see. Shalen is said to have repaired it. Look back with me in the text. I'm almost done. I won't preach all this, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalen. Shalen repaired the gate of the fountain. But notice what the Bible said in the middle part of the verse. He built it. There's a difference in repairing something and building something. Is that right? Y'all do still believe every word in the King James Bible is important, don't you? He repaired it, but he also built it. Wow. This seems to me to indicate that he repaired what he could, but kept it under construction. When he was done, it was good as new. See, the enemy wants to destroy this part of our spiritual life. He wants to make it where it's impassable. We can't enjoy it. We can't live in it. We can't pass through it. And bring a discouragement into our life because this is not right. And can I say tonight, the Holy Ghost, amen, he can repair, amen, some things that the enemy has done. Amen. But may I say he can build on it when he gets done. I don't care what you've done tonight. Amen. And I believe tonight the Word of God is clear. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. But even if you would tonight, I believe the Holy Ghost has enough power to repair what the enemy has damaged. And he can build and construct things in your life in this relationship where he can make it brand new again tonight. Amen. The construction. Boy, I'm preaching to a lot of people in this generation that their relationship to the Lord's been damaged severely. You know what they need? They need the custodial work and construction care of the Spirit of God. Amen. To yield themselves to that, and they'll find he can repair a lot of things, and what can't be repaired, what is without remedy, he can build on to and restores things, I mean, far beyond what people could even imagine. I'm thankful for that. You say, preacher, you preaching that? You saying that like you know something about it? I know a lot about it. Amen. There ain't no S on this preacher's chest. Amen. So I ain't ever been damaged like that. Me and the Holy Ghost, we've always been like that right there. Amen. You super duper. Amen. You pray for the rest of us. Amen. Construction. Watch this. He not only can make it good as new, what would have been damaged by the enemy, but there is one section of this wall that's connected to this gate. In verse number 20, that said when they worked on this that had been damaged, it was earnestly, verse 20, earnestly repaired. That is that they got real diligent and urgent and fired up about repairing this. Know what I'm thankful for tonight? Amen. I'm thankful the Holy Ghost, He gets earnest about repairing what's been damaged in our life. Whatever you face, whatever the enemy has done or is doing to you, the Spirit of the Lord is earnestly seeking to repair those things the enemy does. Amen. Amen. In other words, He ain't casual about it. Amen. He wants it repaired. He wants it repaired. He wants to be involved. If we'll let Him, we'll learn something about Him earnestly repairing things. Let me give you one more thought about the construction at the Fountain Gate. There's a phrase that stands out to me in this text. It happens three times. Brother Seth, three times in verse 19, 21, and 24. You look at it for yourself, see if I'm right. There is the phrase, two words, another piece. Do y'all see that? Another piece. Talking about the fountain gate and the wall. Now that wall's important, the gate, and ain't no sense in having a gate if the wall attached to the gate, amen, is not repaired. It's all one and the same. And it said three times, another piece, another piece, another piece. Amen. Boy, when I seen that, I thought, man, this has to reveal that the Spirit's work is never done in our life. There's all, ain't it amazing? There's always another piece. Amen. There's some debate going around about can a child of God live any day sinless and all of that. I ain't got time to figure all that stuff out. I could care less. All I know is day by day I get up, Brother Tim, I try to live for God the best I can every day. Is it possible? Y'all debate all that. You fight about all that. Here's what I know. The closer I get to God, the more imperfections I see in me. And if we could live a day being sinless, we'd mess it up because we'd get so proud about that thing.
You're right. Amen.
If I could live a day sinless,
pat myself on the back,
and I knew about it, you know what I'd do? I'd be calling Mike Sutherland that evening saying, let me tell you what I did today. And you know what I've just done? I've messed the whole thing up.
Amen.
That's why I ain't got time fooling with all them foolish questions. Here's what I do know. As He works on me, another piece, and I get feeling pretty good about myself, you know what He always does? Well, we got that took care of, but here's another piece.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, I'm feeling real good about myself. And He goes, but there's another piece.
Amen.
And then there's another piece.
Amen.
And it just seems like, and the longer I'm saved, Brother Mike, I appreciate this truth about the Holy Spirit. His work is never done.
Amen.
He'll never say to you, that's good enough. That's as good. You know. I'm done. I'm just meddling now. But you ever get a group of guys that go in to work on somebody's house, and it ain't their house? Somebody said, "Well, how's that look?" Well, that looks good for my front porch.
Yeah.
In other words, it ain't my house. I don't care. It's good enough. It's good enough for me. But if it ain't good enough, it ain't good enough. Holy Ghost has never told me, well, that's good enough. We ain't going to do no more on you. You have arrived. Oh, no, there's always another piece. What's the blessing of that? Twofold. Number one, He's still working on me. Because there's no telling how many another pieces I have down there
Amen. This week and then the week after that and next year, if the Lord doesn't come back, how many another pieces there are going to be? And yet the Holy Spirit never gives up. He's still working on me. Ain't that a blessing? That is a blessing. And then I thought about this when I seen this. Here's how the Spirit of the Lord gave it to me. He said, Jeff, you say, does he call you Jeff? That's my name. That's what he calls me. He says, Jeff, I'm working on you piece by piece. Do you understand that's what the Spirit of the Lord is doing as we are under construction in our relationship to Him? He doesn't just wave a magic wand over us and fix us all up just in one moment of time. Brother Jack, He's fixing us piece by piece. I've been saved 25 years. And in 25 years, He's been doing it piece by piece by piece. And I'm thankful because I look back, and I'm not being proud, I'm giving Him the glory for it. I can look back and I can see all the pieces, all the another pieces along the way that He's been working and repairing and building and constructing. And He hasn't give up on me in 25 years. And I look back and I see all the things that He's done, and I have to say, thank God for the fountain gate and the work of the Holy Ghost that will not let me go.
Amen.
25 years from now, if I'm still alive and Jesus ain't come back, there'll be another 25 years where He's going to do it piece by piece.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy get you too frustrated because your life's maybe in a mess. And I'm not justifying your life being in a mess. Here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. And you can thank me when you go out of here. The Spirit of God works on us piece by piece, little by little.
Amen.
It's how He does it for everybody.
Thank God.
They ain't a person in the building. I know sometimes we get a little big for our britches and we think, man, I've got her nailed down. I've been there. I've lived that Pharisaical spirit.
Right.
I got all the answers and got it all nailed down. And then there's another piece.
Amen.
God works on all of this piece by piece. And if you'll let Him, Mary, work on you piece by piece, there will come a day you'll look back and you'll see such a wonderful, you'll be enjoying such a wonderful relationship with the Spirit of God and your Heavenly Father because of submitting to Him one piece at a time. Amen. Well, that's how He give it to me. I don't know if that makes sense. I should have ended on the second point, shouldn't I? Amen.